Have you heard about Ann Arbor's comprehensive land use plan? It is creating quite a stir in our community. A coalition of concerned Ann Arbor residents is calling on the City Planning Commission to immediately suspend work on the draft of this comprehensive plan, citing what they call serious legal, procedural, and data-related deficiencies. Here to talk about it from that committee is Ann Arbaugh. She is a local realtor. And John Godfrey, who is a retired University of Michigan administrator. What is, John, the comprehensive land use plan in a nutshell?
The comprehensive plan is intended to provide a roadmap for the city for the next quarter century, next 25 years to 2050, to a vision of what the city should look like and become, where its priorities are, where its problems are, and how to resolve them. Ideally, that's what a comprehensive plan should be. And ideally, it should be built from the ground up with input of all of its citizens, with awareness of people of the major issues for the city, and for summoning them, bringing them together, to uniting them to think about how are we going to solve the really big issues that we're looking at.
There are a number of reasons why your group is against this, which we'll get into here. But Anne, overall, why is this something that it concerns you, especially as a local realtor?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do live in the city of Ann Arbor, and my neighborhood actually is pretty close to the university, and close to what is already a range of student housing and single-family homes. And this plan will open the door for developers mostly to come in and to build housing primarily probably for students, but expensive housing, not the affordable housing that we would all love to see. It's just not a reality that that's what's going to be built.
Every time the city talks about encouraging developers to come in and do housing, we always hear the A word, the affordable word, that is going to be affordable housing or some component thereof, or workforce housing to allow people who are nurses and teachers and waitresses and waiters to be able to live in the city of Ann Arbor. It never seems to turn out that way.
Nope. And it would be great. We'd all love to see that. We'd love to see that workforce housing. But that would have to be, you know, built by the city. That would have to be something that they would do. Developers aren't really in it they want to make money. They're in it to make money. So that type of housing just isn't going to happen. And I think that's kind of the falsehood and one of the flaws in the plan is that, you know, this is going to bring more affordable housing. It's just going to bring more market rate housing.
John, I know that the mayor, Christopher Taylor, and his group say that they have done their due diligence with having meetings and having public input on this. Your group feels that there has not been enough, though.
Oh, absolutely. There has been almost no outreach at all. The city couldn't even be bothered to notify all residents that the planning was about to begin. And let's compare what's happening in Ann Arbor with what's happened in Grand Rapids that developed their comprehensive plan just last year. We're on an 18-month process here to develop our plan. It took Grand Rapids 4 years, 4 years of extensive community engagement, of careful planning, of planning at the level of the neighborhoods. What we have here right now is a draft plan that we're looking at that the city has issued. A draft plan that if you take away the pages that have no content at all on them, it's a 68-page draft plan. There's no area-specific plans. There's no analysis of how much it will cost to build infrastructure to accommodate the housing that the mayor and council wants us to have. There is no analysis of, for instance, of what greenhouse gas emissions are going to look like. There are no maps, data, or other information on land, housing, transportation. All of that's gone. Grand Rapids, on the other hand, their draft plan was over 500 pages. It had area-specific plans. It had tailored recommendations for specific areas. It had an economic growth plan for well-paying jobs. It had studies of the infrastructure capacity of the city and all of the costs that are related with that. In other words, it was truly a comprehensive plan. What we have really, if you consider it, is really a business plan for out-of-town developers and to grow our tax revenues in the city. This is not a plan for residents.
And would this also change the makeup of our neighborhoods, Anne?
Absolutely. And that's one of the concerns is that there's really only going to be four zonings. And the where neighborhoods are is all going to be low-rise residential. The plan outlines that you could have up to three stories, in some instances up to four stories right next to a single-family home.
Now, the mayor has said he's not for four
he's
stories.
Not four.
He backtracked, I think,
right,
a little bit
but
on
that.
Right,
that's up for debate on that. But what happens is the setbacks, everything has already shrunk. So where you could once put one duplex, you could now you'll be able to put two. They also took away, the city took away the parking requirements back in 2022. So a developer could basically almost, you know, take up the entire envelope and no parking. So in a neighborhood next to two single-family homes, you could have up to 16 or more kids, students, or other, you know, residents there.
And not just
with
in
no
the
parking.
Typical places that we expect to see those around the campus area, et cetera. John, is that right that this could be over in the southeast side
Absolutely.
Of Ann Arbor or
it,
even in Burns Park where the mayor lives?
It could be in every residential district in the city. And let's be clear. Let's really understand this. When the mayor says up to three stories tall, you can have a building up to 40 feet to 45 feet tall that's only three stories if there's commercial retail in the ground floor. And the plan will allow that in all residential areas of the city.
You made a statement that you believe this is about developers coming in, getting and growing the tax base, maybe even playing to developers who have participated in campaigns for some of the politicians who are for this. But one thing that kind of concerns me about this is the projections of population for the city of Ann Arbor. And that is a sticking point here in comparison to what the city has proposed on this versus what your group says. So talk about that.
Absolutely. So there's a claim in this plan that what actually I think they've stripped out the number because they were embarrassed by it. There's a claim that Ann Arbor could have as many as 113,000 new residents by 2050. And that's because if you look at the number of housing units they wanted to build and you do the multiplication of how many people live in your average housing unit, you get to that number. It's really, really big. Now, does that make sense at all? Well, if you look at the projections from the Southeast Michigan Council of Governments, the SEMCOG, which provides really authoritative data for all of Southeast Michigan and which they're supposed to be using, SEMCOG is projecting that we're only going to get about another 12,000 residents by 2050, nowhere near the number the city is talking about.
But is that because we don't have the infrastructure yet?
We certainly do not have the infrastructure, and that's something else that's missing entirely from this plan. There is no honest approximation of what it's going to cost to build new infrastructure to accommodate this aspirational growth. We think it's going to cost between $2.5 and $5 billion over 25 years. And the burden for paying for that, for new taxes, is going to fall hardest on the low-income and the fixed-income families of Ann Arbor.
Why is that?
Because taxes are going to go up. The only way to pay for this infrastructure is through bonds or taxes or other forms of taxpayer-funded investments.
What about transportation? That's also an issue. And part of some of the council people, you know, have been pushing for us to get out of our cars and to start using public transportation. I don't care what you say. With all of this new build, people are coming with their vehicles.
People still love their cars. They want to drive their cars. It just makes it more difficult, more congestion, more admissions that, you know, the more cars, the roads have gotten smaller. It's just more congestion.
Why are we trying to build so much? I know we've had some major corporations, KLA and other types of groups that have come in and businesses, and with them come their employees, et cetera. But when you have a certain amount of land mass, and that's all you have as a city, and you're trying to get more people to live in that land mass rather than living in Ypsilanti, which mm-hmm. I don't understand either. When you're in New York City, you don't necessarily live there if you work there. You're commuting in from New Jersey or other spots. So why is that so terrible to have people live in Ypsilanti or Pittsfield Township?
Right, and I think that's the falsehood is they think that these 80,000 people that come to work in the city every day want to live here. I don't think that's necessarily true. Maybe some do. But I have several clients.
Young people
but I've had several clients that actually lived in Ann Arbor and now have moved out.
Right.
They don't want to deal with the hustle and bustle. They want a nice big yard. They want to, you know, not deal with the pollution.
All of my friends have moved out. All of them.
Right. They're taxes are cheaper in the township. So, like I said, there's a falsehood that all 80,000 of those workers want to live in the city. Mm-hmm. But they're going to still have their cars, even if they live in the city.
Talking with Ann Arbaugh and John Godfrey, they're with the Ann Arbor Neighborhood Network, this group that is pushing back against the comprehensive plan that the current Ann Arbor City Council and City of Ann Arbor have developed. What is the stage of this plan right now, John?
The Planning Commission is finishing up its final edits, and it's going to go back to the consultants for a second iteration. They're going to get a revised draft somewhere in the summer, and then the council is scheduled to vote on the plan in November. But I want to just go back to one thing that I think is really important. The city is proposing what we call upzoning to allow taller buildings, greater density in residential neighborhoods. And what upzoning always does is it increases land value. And that's important to recognize. Let's be clear about what this means. It opens the door for speculation, for developers to come in, especially to look at the most vulnerable, the areas that have low and moderate income households, that are located along transit corridors. Those are going to be targets for speculative development. What we see happening in Ann Arbor, we have multi-million dollar condos being built. We have student high rises being built that are nearly unaffordable. And that is what we're seeing in the city. Are we seeing affordable housing appearing? No, we're not. So there has been no respect for this principal concern of residents. We have people, tenants who can't afford the rent. We have people who are looking for a house who can't afford the down payment, you know, to get into a house. How do we do this? Instead of bringing the city together, the residents together, to think collectively about this really important problem, what we've had is a top-down plan that's really been motivated by improving the tax base and finding a way for out-of-town developers to make a big buck.
You put together, this group put together a memo that you sent to the city. Milton Dehoney, our city administrator, city council, all copied on this and others. And it is an extensive memorandum that outlines all of the claims of the city on this versus what your group says are the actual facts in this. Have you heard back yet?
No.
You got no response.
No response.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Milton Dehoney didn't even say thank you for your memo, your email.
We can but hope.
Nothing from your council members.
Nothing.
Even your individual council members of your wards that you live in.
Silence.
How does that make you feel?
We expected it. we expected that that memo is unanswerable. That the only way for them to respond to it would be to acknowledge the fundamental shortcomings of the entire planning process, its assumptions, its lack of respect for residents by failing to include them. We're asking the city to pause the plan before they do any more damage, to go back to the people.
The city council maintains they have, and the city maintains they have had a number of public ways that people can learn about this to respond. They've had some public open houses. That wasn't enough for you? Or did that come after everything was created? Is that your concern?
The direction of the plan, its goals, were all established by the mayor and city council without any public input. The city decided that it would not send even postcards doing the minimal effort, taking the minimal effort.
It can be argued, though, that public input is the elected people that we put in there, that there's your public input. It's we have elected them to do these kinds of things.
We didn't elect our city government to impose the kind of plan they're proposing to impose on the city of Ann Arbor.
This is coming out of the planning department?
Well, the plan itself, the direction has been set entirely by city council and the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And the Planning Commission of the city is the author of the plan. They have been charged to work with the consultants to develop a plan and to bring that to city council for city council to implement.
Planning commission is not elected. It is appointed by the mayor.
It is appointed by the mayor. That's correct.
And that's what's concerning to you.
Very, very concerning. There is extraordinary unanimity both in city council and the planning commission. And they have shown to be utterly resistant to citizen input and to not take seriously the concerns of residents that this has been done in a very undemocratic fashion. I want to say that the state of the art for urban planning in the 21st century is to begin with residents, is to begin to set the vision by having extended conversations with residents. Where are the problems that we need to address over the next 25 years? What can we do? How can we do? How can we innovate? What should we be doing? Where are great opportunities? None of that has taken place.
I remember, and I don't know how many years ago it was, 25 years ago or so, we had, what did they call them? Gatherings. I remember going to a local hotel and we were coming up with these kinds of things. We had big boards out on tables and people were trying to plan what neighborhoods would look like, et cetera. And that seemed to be at the ground level. I don't know what happened to all of that.
There were
charrettes, wasn't that what they called that?
Charrettes. Yes. There were a number of sessions of this kind of gatherings last year. No more than 500 people took part in these, which is a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of Ann Arbor's resident
population.
Well,
can it be argued that Ann Arbor doesn't care, John?
No,
I know your group cares, but what they keep putting in the same people into the seats at city council and the mayor. Mayor has been elected how many times now? Maybe this is what Ann Arbor wants. I would argue, though, that I don't think that our current makeup of council looks at the totality of our town and takes into consideration all of the different voices chiming in. Because, as you said, they haven't even responded.
I have to agree with you. And people today don't know that this planning is taking place that's going to determine the shape of the city for the next quarter century.
And that's the big problem.
And when they learn about it, they get mad to think that they have been shut out of this.
All right. So, John and Ann, I want you to talk to that person out there that this is the first time they're hearing about this comprehensive land use plan for the city of Ann Arbor. Envision, if you will, and you gave us a little bit earlier, what is our town going to look like under this scenario if it comes to fruition?
A mini Chicago.
A mini Chicago. You can sum it up in two words. Mm-hmm. A mini Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what?
It's going to be high rises, low rises, a mixture of everything. I don't know how many clients I have that grew up in Ann Arbor. They went out to New York. They went out to Chicago. They did their stints there. They've all come back to Ann Arbor to raise their families. They want that.
They want to raise it in their families in a traditional neighborhood?
Correct, yes. And if they wanted to raise them in a neighborhood or an area like Chicago, they would have stayed in Chicago.
And what happens to our traditional neighborhoods as we know them now? The Georgetowns, the Forest Brooks, the Burns Park, you name it. We've got all these beautiful neighborhoods in our community that make up Ann Arbor. It's not just downtown. Right. It's not just the University of Michigan. John, what happens to those?
The fabrics of these neighborhoods will be torn up, and there will be radical disruption. And I have to say that this disruption is what the mayor was calling for back in 2020 when the planning process first began to be considered. He talked about this at a city council meeting. He said disruption is coming and it's going to be difficult and not all people are going to like it, but so be it. I find that very upsetting. I think most people do as well. Our city is a collection of communities, a collection of neighborhoods where people have raised their families and are raising families, where people aspire to belong. It's a very when our city is at its very best, it's inclusive, it's curious, it's connected.
And I think this plan does the exact opposite of that. As someone who grew up here in Ann Arbor, I see it as now fostering to higher end individuals, perhaps only younger people moving out. The families, the older, I don't know what the older people are going to do. I don't see where that's sustainable. It's a complete change of our makeup of our community from my perspective.
It is. We do need more affordable housing in the city. There's a real desperate need for that.
But you don't think this is the way to do it?
It cannot achieve this at all.
All right. Ann Arbor Neighborhood Network, name of the group, John Godfrey, great talking with you. Ann Arbaugh, thank you very much for your input today. Of course, City Council always welcome on the Lucy Ann Lantz Show as well to hear their perspective and the city's perspective on this. But it is very concerning that I think they haven't done enough to inform the residents of Ann Arbor of what this is going to be. John?
One more thing. People can sign a petition. Mm-hmm. We have a petition for people to sign.
Where do they go?
Go to a2pausetheplan.com. You'll find the petition there.
a2pausetheplan.com. Thank you so much. You're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.